بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. فإن خير الحديث من كتاب الله، وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, we bear witness that nothing should be worshipped or adored except Allah. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is indeed the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets. We bear witness whom Allah chooses to guide out of His infinite mercy, wisdom and compassion. No one and nothing can misguide them. And whomsoever Allah allows to go astray because of a disease in their heart, no one will ever be able to guide them to the gates of truth. Brothers and sisters, it is very, very important for us today as Muslims to reaffirm our belief first in Allah and second in all of His prophets, and without doubt the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Prophet Muhammad that we know is a man of love and compassion, a man of kindness who had deep love and affection for the salvation of humanity, a man who was surrounded by total darkness and searched on his spiritual quests for spiritual emancipation for his people. The man that Mr. Jerry Falwell was speaking of, I do not know. But I have to say this quickly, that I find it extremely amazing who the critics of the Prophet are. Most of those who criticize the Prophet Muhammad, and I know the topic is women, we're going to make the connection. But most of those who criticize the Prophet Muhammad, who are evangelists, are extremely hypocritical. They speak without knowledge or fact. They speak to play on the emotions of the American people, hoping to deceive them in order to create dissent and hatred, which ultimately will justify the killing and the disrespect of Muslim life. And my question is to Mr. Jerry Falwell and others like him. Prophet Muhammad and his followers never enslaved people in America. Prophet Muhammad and his followers never stole land from the native people. Prophet Muhammad and his followers never burned people on crosses and hung them for the simple reason of being of another color. But you cannot say that you find Christian terrorism. But yet Christianity has blessed the slave ships and has blessed wars throughout history under the pretext that they represent Jesus Christ. They are the true frauds and the fakes of this generation. Brothers and sisters, I don't have a lot of time, but what we need to do is remember, number one, quickly. What was it like for women before Islam? What was it like for women in Islam? And what would it be like for women today without Islam? We know, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the seerah or the history of the Prophet and his companions, we know that women in the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, they were slaves. They were despised and rejected for no other crime except being female. In fact, we are told by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu from the history that he himself, he buried his daughter alive from birth. So we know that the mindset of the Arabs before Islam was disrespect and hatred towards women. We know that. But also, we know that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received this great message, the first person to give him comfort and assurance was a woman. The first person to take her shahada was a woman. The first person to lose her life and her blood for the truth of Islam was a woman. We have to understand today, brothers and sisters, as the games are being played on the gender issue, that in Islam, a woman is not righteous because she's a woman. That's political correctness, to say all women are good. A woman is not evil for the mere fact that she is a woman. Nor is she inferior to man because she is a woman. Man is not superior unto woman because he is man. Just as it is that one race is not superior over another, so is it that no male is superior over female, or no female is superior to the male. But in the Quranic context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of what it means to be righteous that has very little to do with gender. On the day of judgment, you're not going to get any credit for being a man. None. Listen to me well, brothers. You will get no credit on the day of judgment for being a man. And my sister, with all due respect, you will get no credit on the day of judgment for being a woman. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. All people, we have made you from a single soul, male and female. See, that in itself is an indication of what Islam's view is on women, because each and every one of us here is a byproduct of our mothers and our fathers. Every prophet, every lawyer, every judge, every scientist, every revolutionary that comes into this life, with the exception of Adam, will be born of a woman. So the very nature of the Quran gives a clear indication of respect for women, for the first revelation of the Holy Quran is not only about knowledge, but the science of embryology, which takes place in the birth of our mothers or the wombs of our mothers. Listen to the verse. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqara bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. The very essence of the Quranic introduction to humanity is to recognize and honor first and foremost the source of life, which is Allah Himself. And then second, Allah teaches us in the Quran to reverence the wombs that bore us. So the very nature of Islam is one of peace and justice and respect for all people. Let me give you this. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of women in two categories, as well as men. Amongst the women in the Holy Quran is Eve. You have the mother of Jesus, Maryam. You have Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh. You have Balqis, the queen of Sheba. You have the mother of Moses and his sister. All of these women in the Quran are noble and highly respected, not so much because they were women, but because they were true servants dedicated to the Most High, and they demonstrated their faith in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not because they were women, because they were true servants. So the mother of Jesus, in spite of all of the rejection and hatred that was portrayed upon her, she was a woman who, upon conceiving the birth or conceiving the Messiah, who was able to make the deaf hear, the blind see, and resurrect the dead by God's permission, she was able to confront her society in a time where she was being labeled as a woman guilty of ill conduct. Mary didn't abort her child. And the people who would question the Prophet Muhammad being married to Aisha at 9 and having a relationship at 11, the question that I have, in a free society where we're supposed to be the most democratic and free society, you're allowing girls to have sex at 9 and abortions at 10 without the consent of their parents. I want you to think about who you're dealing with. You're dealing with satanic minds who would like to portray Islam and hatred against women in order to move women out of Islam and make other women reject Islam without having even the facts of what Islam represents. But their hypocrisy is obvious if you would only examine the facts as they are. In America, you can have one wife, but you can have escort services. In America, you can have one wife, but you can have special classified secret activity in the White House. In America, you can have one wife, but you can marry another man. In America, you can have one wife, but you can have multiple sex partners under the pretext of sexual freedom. In America, you can go to states where prostitution is legal. So the question becomes, is it an honor for a woman to be a man's wife and respected and provided for and loved and nourished in a relationship that is based upon love for the divine being? Or would a woman be respected, be treated as a prostitute who would be paid for her services and disrespected for who she truly is? Which one is more nobler? You gotta start thinking for yourself. And the women of the world, many of them are so hypocritical. When it comes, I'm talking about the non-Muslim women, who some of the Muslim women are influenced by, of course. But they all say things like, you can only have, I don't know, I become Muslim, but you have too many wives. I just want to be the only one. But yet, soon as the women in this society see a man that they admire, he could be married, and they still will say, I hope you're happy, but if not, I'm here for you, baby. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We're dealing with a bunch of demons and hypocrites who would cast stones at truth in order to shield their wicked practices. You gotta think for yourself. In the Quran, we have the mother of Moses who casted Moses upon the water because a wicked man named Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses, who was supposed to liberate the children of Israel and return them back to the worship of Allah. She demonstrated her faith protecting a male child. She had no hatred for Moses because he was a male. And that's what a lot of women have to be careful today when you have a male child. Some of the women in our society, they have a male child and they begin to disrespect them and tell them, you're nothing and you're just like your father. That is not the spirit of a mother, to disrespect her child whom she has put her life on the line to give birth to. That's not the spirit of a woman of Islam. But the mother of Moses demonstrated her faith, casted Moses upon the water. And it was the sister of Moses that followed him and led the people of the palace of Pharaoh back to the mother of Moses. It's about faith. I can't prove to you tonight that Prophet Muhammad is the prophet. I don't need to prove it. I believe it. And faith ain't about proof. It's about conviction. I believe without doubt that he is the messenger of Allah and all that he represented is truth, because I know what his teachings has done for me and for others who have lived in darkness. I know he is the prophet. I believe he is the prophet, but I cannot prove it if you want material evidence. The same way I cannot prove that George Washington ever exists. I can't prove that Abraham Lincoln ever exists. And I would never attempt to prove that Santa Claus was real, but they teach that he is. Brothers and sisters, let me quickly hurry up. We have in the Quran, Allah also gives us an example of wicked women. That's what I said. Some women are outright wicked. Not because they're women. Because of human nature. All of us here today are a byproduct of one essence. In fact, it is the male chromosomes that determines the sex of a child. Come on, scientists. So when a man hates a woman, he's hating himself. When a woman hates a man, she's hating herself, because each and every one of us here as men, we have a mother. That's why you can't hate anybody for any reason. We hate and reject falsehood, trickery and deception and oppression, but we respect life in all of its forms. But Allah tells us also in the Holy Quran, there were some wicked women, like the wife of Noah, who did not believe in his teachings. He tells us of the women of Yusuf, who plotted against a messenger of Allah. They plotted against him in a manner that is inconsistent with women of great nobility, to lie on a man and say that a man tried to have an intimate relationship with you in order to protect your own integrity as a woman. But later on, as the Quranic story goes on, the truth is revealed. But Allah said, verily, the plot of the women was a great plot. But it all benefited Yusuf at the end. Then you have, Allah gives us also the example of the diversity of the wives of the prophets, or the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Quran spells out, brothers and sisters, very clearly And I will try to move very quickly. When you get an opportunity, go to verse 30, chapter 33, verse 35. Allah says, I read the English transliteration quickly. Allah says, for Muslim men and Muslim women, for believing men and for believing women, for men and women that are devoted, for men and women who are true servants, who exalt themselves with patience and consistency, for men and women who humble themselves and give in charity, for men and women who fast, for men and women who guard and protect their modesty, for men and women who engage much in the praise and the remembrance of Allah, for Allah indeed has forgiven them and prepared for them the greatest reward. That is what Islam teaches us about the nature of male and female, that each and every one of us have the potential to be great servants of Allah, and that we should never be blinded by the makeup of our physical composition, but recognize that the essence of who we all are, it's not male or female, but we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Because when the soul leaves the body will deteriorate in the earth and become the food of the worms and other insects of this planet. So the very spirit of Islam is respect for everybody. However, that is not to say that women are not oppressed. I have never seen a society yet where women are treated equal. I haven't seen one. Are Muslim women abused? Of course. Are Christian women abused? Well, why you have laws on domestic violence? Why you have laws on sexual harassment? Because those things exist. And no religion can hide it, because we measure Islam not by the people, but by the revelation of the Holy Quran. And there's nothing in the life of the Prophet and nothing in the Holy Quran that is disrespectful to women in any way whatsoever. None at all. But the enemy would want you to think that in order to create doubt in your mind and cause you to leave Islam. When you leave Islam, where are you going? Where are you going? I'm free, honey. I'm not Muslim. I took my headpiece off. And what you gonna put on? What you gonna put on, baby doll? Some extensions? They'll give you blue eyes, green eyes, cat eyes, dog eyes. Give you hair that's not even yours and make you move it and make you convinced that it's a part of your makeup. They'll give you fake breasts and fake butts and fake nails, and you ask a dumb question why you can't be a real woman, because you're made of cosmetics. And then they ask a dumb question, why does a Muslim woman cover her head? Freedom for us in our society is take it all off, baby. Take it off. These are ignorant people. They live in darkness and you can't follow them, nor can you be intimidated by them. Now, I want to close out with this, because I know my time is up. I want to say quickly that we as Muslims, we need to take some action. See, because these, don't get mad, these devils, that's what they are. These are the shayateen. Allah says in the Quran, those who were in the midst of the Prophet, who said, we believe as you believe, Allah says, when they go back to where? Ila shayateenihim. When they go to their devil friends, they say, we are really with you, we're just making mockery of them. You're dealing with some real shaitanic mindsets today. And we need to take some action. The greatest defense for Islam and the Prophet of Islam on the issue of women is you, women yourselves. Cut your TV off. Cut your cell phone off. And pick up the books of Islam and study the religion, and you will be the best representation for Islam. And the best defense of the Prophet is not the speeches that we can give. The best defense of the Prophet and of Islam is for Muslims to live and to practice the faith each and every day, regardless of the consequences, because Islam is known not by word, but by deed. We gotta live. But the Muslim women, you need to study now. And I was so honored during the crises of 9/11. The Muslim sisters, you surely stood strong. If you were looking for strength after 9/11, come on, brothers, you know I'm telling you the truth. We took our kufis off, shaved our beards. Muhammad became Mo, Aisha became I, Khalid became Q. And when someone said to you, Assalamu alaikum, you said, what's that, me? But my sisters were on the subway They was working in the downtown area. I saw sisters 1 o'clock in the morning in full hijab and even the niqab, and they were not budging and they were not moving, and they refused to be intimidated by mass media. They stood stronger in many cases than the men. And I say to the brothers here, I hope to do it in Ramadan or after, but we need to have a special program in this city honoring the women of Islam and the work they have been doing quietly for such a long time. We need to honor them, because we as a people will never rise in the absence of the strength of our sisters in our community. And I leave you with this challenge, brothers, honestly. I leave you with a challenge. Be not intimidated by a woman. Most men are scared of women of substance. That's why every time a brother gets married, the first thing he wants to know is if she's going to be obedient, which is a substitute for being a dummy. He wants to know when he says jump, you're going to say when, how high, and where. But the spirit of Islam is that men and women cultivate their minds. If you want to have a successful marriage in Islam, brother, you need an intelligent woman with you. You don't need a dumb woman. You don't need a sister that sits home all day just watching Jerry Springer, and all day watching Oprah, and all day just, she got on full niqab, but her mouth just won't stop with the cell phone. You need today women in our community who become the doctors and lawyers and engineers and the technicians and the educators, so we can begin to claim our rightful place within this society, because we ain't going nowhere. We're here to stay. We ain't going nowhere. They don't have enough jails for 6 to 7 million Muslims. So some of us are going to be free. But I'm saying to you, my brother, that brother who is married, that brother who is single, you need today with you a strong sister, a sister who can think for herself, who truly wants to be a servant of Allah and obedient to Allah and not be a hypocrite in front of you when she pretends to be a good woman when you're around, but in your absence she is rebellious against the commandments. You need a wife that's intelligent like the wives of the prophets. We have a large collection of hadith from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, which is a clear indication that she was directly involved in the cultivation of this ummah of Islam. We need that kind of relationship respectfully between ourselves. And I say to every sister that's here, as a woman, you're supposed to put your faith in Allah, never in man. You must trust Allah for all that you need. If your husband dies today, sister, what will you do for yourself? You go to the masjid, they may give you a little sadaqah. You got 10 kids, they give you $50. And you can't do anything with that. Muslim women in shelters in America, in New York, and we live as men in mansions. And I ask the question to the men today, and I'm finished. What part of the sunnah do we practice? What part of the life of the Prophet do we intend to imitate? The nice beads that we have, the nice kufis we have, the nice thobes. And to my African-American brothers, you're born in America, you get influenced by foreign brothers, and you don't even speak English no more. Brother, mashallah, Abdul Malik, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah, brother, mashallah, acha. No, that's my African-American brothers. Your whole mind is transformed. You got to wake up. And I say to the sisters and brothers here, work together for the common good of this ummah. But brothers, I submit to you, we cannot continue to isolate and ostracize Muslim women from participating respectfully in our development. If they don't become an intricate part, as they was in the life of the Prophet, in our struggle, we will not be successful. They have to be a part of it. They got to come out the mosque basements. They got to come from way in the back, someplace in the corner. They got to be allowed to go out into the world, trusting that they will be good servants of Allah and pursue the highest degrees in education, because that will strengthen this ummah. Brothers used to amaze me. No male doctor can see my wife. I say, brother, well, let your wife go to school. No, astaghfirullah, brother. They go to school, they become corrupted. So what do you think Jerry Springer is doing? So brothers and sisters, I love you. But stay strong and defend the Prophet with your life if necessary. And sisters, the time has come for you to rise and take your rightful place and challenge the women of America where Islam is concerned. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.